Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how comfortable are you with the idea of death? It's all around us lately. And how do we hold it? And how should we understand it? And to help us do that better is the author of a wonderful book, Soul Whisperer. And she's been on the show before, and I'm so glad that she's back with us, Annette Rugolo. Annette, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Yeah, we're in such a critical time of fear and fear of dying, fear of illness, and sadness for those who have died. And how do we hold that?
Oh, well, sometimes we don't. It's like, I think when I look around, people that have lost, experienced loss, especially over the last 2 years, I'm at a place that I can explain it, and I'll be talking about a few things, but sometimes things are so heavy and so oppressive that we just have to sit with it and hold each other with such love and compassion right now. And I feel like that's one of the things that's really coming up to be felt, to be expressed. We're all experiencing it. And it's very interesting as I'm saying that. I think about my life, and every once in a while I hear about somebody passing, or somebody's brother, parent, or somebody, a family member passing, dying. And you can hold that person with compassion and love and tenderness. But right now it is so overwhelming. There's this sense of overwhelm. I know people that have lost 10 people in their family over the last 2 years.
Wow.
How can you fathom? You can't even heal from one loss, and then there's the next one. I just got an email from somebody that I was working with. It's my accountant's office, actually. And there was some emails that got missed. And I found out from the person that emailed me that the person that missed the emails, she lost 3 family members in 1 week. 3. And it's like, how, we don't even have time to process one death before we're hit and slammed with another and another. One of the things that I feel we're an opportunity, so this is where I wanted to share. We're in a very challenging time right now. We're being challenged on so many levels. We're being bombarded. So there's 2 things that are happening. One is, and I've shared this, I teach this for quite a few years. We have moved from the Piscean age to the Aquarian age. And in every age, there's a certain energy, and there are souls that hold that energy of that age. Let me go back and share something else. This is different things are coming up here, Peter, so hang on. About 5 years ago, I was out in California meeting with a friend. She had a son-in-law who passed suddenly. He was 50 years old. They were so devastated by his death. She ended up seeing a medium. And what she was told at that time was that his soul chose to leave at that time because he had to prepare himself for his job service that he would be in, because there will be millions of souls leaving this planet at a certain point in time. So he left early, 5 years ago, to prepare himself on a soul level for what was coming. Now, she wasn't told what the event was. She wasn't told when it was going to happen, just that it was in the future. And when everything started with all the deaths happening, I knew it was this experience that he was preparing for. So I want to share that first of all.
So he had a job to do on the other side to bring people across in large numbers.
Right. And we talked about this right before the show, Peter. It's like there's always souls there as souls pass over to welcome them to the other dimension. You know, we call it the other side, we call it passing, but it's there's always souls that are there to welcome
them. And often former relatives who have mm-hmm. passed. And so many people are afraid that when they know about multiple lifetimes, they think, well, when I get to the other side, my family who have already died, they'll be on to other lives. They won't be there for me. I'll be alone.
There's always somebody there. There's always somebody.
Right, but those souls don't move on to other lifetimes in ways that they can't be there for us when we pass.
Right. So, and some of them do incarnate. I know I have a brother, and his story is in my book. He passed in 1988, and he reincarnated. He is now, I have a great niece that his soul reincarnated. And as soon as I met her, it's like, that's my brother.
Wow.
So some of them do reincarnate.
But yet your brother would still be there for you. Even
yes.
though he's reincarnated, it's only a part of him that reincarnates, and the part of him that you knew as your brother is still waiting for you on the other side.
I call it the oversoul. So we have an oversoul. Okay. And then the different aspects of that soul.
Right.
But yeah. So that's what happened. So I heard about this 5 years ago from this friend. And I've since talked to a couple other people that got the same message from a medium, from somebody that they knew that died. So there were these souls that were leaving 5, 4, 3 years ago, preparing themselves for the job or being in service to all of these souls that have passed. And millions, you know, we know that millions have passed. The other piece of this, and this is the other thing I try to hold and remember in situations like this. So I talked about the Piscean age, and we shifted into the Aquarian age. And there are souls that came in holding, supporting the energy of the Piscean age. So now we've shifted into this Aquarian age. Now these Aquarian age souls are being born, incarnating to hold this energy. And the souls holding the Piscean energy, it's like their job is done. The Piscean age is moving out.
It's also that Piscean energy has different purposes. And
correct.
So the Aquarian energy is a new age mm-hmm. that has new priorities, a different way of seeing things. And that might also be why we're in such confusion right now.
Oh, there's two things clashing right now. And I have to remind myself of these clashes. So we have the Piscean age moving out, the Aquarian age moving in. So that's a clash of energy. Very different vibrations, very different energy. We also have the masculine energy, the masculine cycle that has shifted, and we're now December 21st, 2012, we shifted into a feminine cycle.
But so wouldn't that also be more Aquarian as well?
It's a different cycle. Okay. The Aquarian energy is where the sun shifted into. It's a sun cycle as it goes through the zodiac.
But isn't that more of a yin nature?
Yep. Oh, and it is yin in nature as well.
Right.
But then we have the larger cycle. It's a 26,000 year cycle of our planet around the great central sun. So mm-hmm. then we have both of these cycles shifting and changing at the same time. It's going to create chaos.
Right? What's new?
Yeah, right? And like, look at what's on our planet. It is chaos. And the other piece I look at, all of this light is coming in. So one of the things I keep tuning into and I keep reading about is we have this amazing light that is showing up on our planet, and it's revealing, it's uncovering all of this old yucky energy that we haven't seen or been aware of or been willing to look at. All of the energy created by wars, by torture, by abuse that has happened for eons on this planet.
It's also like it's, as part of the Piscean era.
Right.
Whereas Aquarian age is more of cooperation and is more equal.
Well, and I always tell people, listen to the song Age of Aquarius by the Fifth Dimension. Like, for those of us in, you know, the older generations, but that's the Aquarian age. But the Piscean age had served its purpose as well. So it's not like, yes, it created some chaos and a lot of stuff as it continued, but it was an age of devotion, and humanity had to come into a place of devotion, of creating community, of churches, of that was part of our growth experience. And now there's people that are really tuning in and seeing, oh, I have it all within me.
Oh, I like that, right. So right. In other words, the Piscean age was more external, and right. there was a devotion to making the external more comfortable, let's say.
Yeah.
And now we can't use the external in the same way, so we have to go within.
Right. So it's like I look at what happened in the Piscean age as like that age of devotion, but we were devoted to somebody outside of ourselves. We were devoted to a priest, a minister, a CEO. There was always this head of a company that demanded our devotion.
And usually male.
And male, right, right. Exactly. So there's a really wonderful article I read years ago. It's was called The Spider and the Starfish. And it was an exact analogy of the different energies of the Piscean age and the Aquarian age. So it talked about the spider. It has a head and eight legs. You cut off the head, the spider dies. The starfish, there is no head. It has its legs. You cut off one of the legs, it grows back.
Oh, great. That's what we like to hear.
Yeah, isn't it? So it was a perfect analogy of this new energy that we're in. There is no, and you can see different systems, different companies going that way already, where they're all working together. There's collaboration. There isn't this one person who's like the king or the emperor. And that energy is dissipating on this planet.
Maybe that's also why big government doesn't feel worthy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, we need smaller community councils.
And you look at a lot of the grassroots energy that's coming up from, you know, different areas, different cities, different states. But yeah, it's a grassroots. It's, but yeah, but going back to, you know, the chaos, the tension, I'm looking at a lot of these people that are dealing with so much right now, that have so much on their plate. And it's a point of tension that it's like being under fire. And there's many people, and this is the other piece that's coming up, and I kind of watch everything. And so people are looking at things. It's like a chance to analyze our lives or look at our lives and go, okay, what works, what doesn't work, what do we want to do, how can we handle this different, how can we be more creative in solutions, creative solutions for our lives. It's interesting, I don't know if you've read anything about the Great Resignation that's happening.
Oh yes, a lot of people are quitting.
Right, and it's like they're looking at it going, nope, this isn't for me. To me, it's for a lot of us, it's choice point. We get to make a different choice.
A lot of times we have no idea what the new choice will be.
Exactly. Kind of like stepping off a cliff.
Right. It's amazing that I'm not of that ilk. Although I guess I've taken great risks in my life, but I don't think of it that way. You know, stepping out into the unknown. Yeah. I guess I've always stepped out into a world that I just have aspirations about. So, but I don't know what happens if you don't have an aspiration yet, and yet you've let go of the old.
So going back to those who have lost a family member, friends, mm-hmm. I think it's important to remember that what we talked about, Peter, is the soul always, the soul lives on. There's the death of the body, but there is the life of the spirit. There's the life of the soul. And I think what's happening for a lot of people, I've seen a lot of articles on this too, is people are contacting in mediums or opening up. They want that soul communication. They want that ongoing connection with the souls that have passed. So there is an awakening happening, that it's like, this can't be the end.
Right. So I'm so glad that I'm somebody who has always known that my family is on the other side, and I've always been looking forward to seeing them again someday and have a great reunion. And unfortunately, there are more and more people on the other side now that I'll be having reunions with, because yeah, they're gone now.
There was, I recently saw a movie, it's called Collateral Beauty. And it was about death. A man lost his 6-year-old daughter, and his experience, his challenge of going through that process and coming out the other side. I think it's important to watch hopeful movies right now, or listening to uplifting songs, or remembering that there is something beyond what we're seeing and hearing in the world right now. I think really important.
And what's important is to be able to have a communication with the other side. That's why, as you said, people are seeking mediums, but there aren't that many good mediums around. But I think so many people can start getting their own connection with the other side.
And I always tell people, just ask. Ask to connect.
Right.
And then what happens is they get messages in dreams. They start paying attention to contact, how they're trying to contact them, messages. All you have to do is be open and start asking. I'm here.
But what's interesting is that sometimes you don't even have to ask. I was in a very difficult state one night recently, and just in turmoil, emotional, mental turmoil, and I wasn't even asking. I just didn't know what to do to calm myself down because I was just feeling troubled. And out of the blue, my mother showed up and clear as day. I had my eyes closed. I was lying there, but I was wide awake. And all of a sudden she was standing next to me with so much love that it immediately put me into full peace. And so it was like, I didn't ask, but she knew.
Isn't that amazing? So that, yeah, we're so connected. And I think that's what a lot of times people forget, how connected we actually are.
And I know, and that's why I'm so glad we're talking, because mm-hmm. you have such a facility to be in this world, a multidimensional world, where spirits reveal themselves to you and you've helped them so many times. And so it's important to know that there are people like you who have such the ability to provide information and assistance to people on each side.
Yeah. And I think it's important to know, or maybe to trust, that the souls that have passed, they're fine. They're okay. So it's just us that, you know, we're dealing with the loss. We miss that physical presence, especially as, you know, we're coming into the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas. And this is where a lot of the grief, anger, sadness, this is where it really comes up.
Yeah, I had that in my family when my nephew recently died, 21 years old, mm-hmm. and there was such grief, but his parents were able to speak with a medium, and their son came through loud and clear, mm-hmm. and told them that he was fine on the other side. And explain why he needed to go and all that kind of information. Wow. And it gave them such comfort, but there's still huge grief. Loss is loss. It doesn't matter how much we know about life after death and all that. We still have to live with loss.
So and I think to give ourselves time and gentleness and grace and compassion, to give ourselves that, but also to hold that for each other. I think that's one of the things we're being asked to bring forward right now. It's not like, get over it. It's like there's a process, and it takes years. Especially if it's a child or I shouldn't say especially, it's anybody close.
My cousin lost his 14-year-old daughter over 20 years ago, and he is still in great grief.
Especially children, it's right. Hard.
Yeah, so, but we have to just understanding the bigger picture gives us some solace. To know that all is not lost, just a lot of it is, I mean, I don't mind going to the other side. I'll just be very sad to leave this life behind. But I know that I'll be happy on the other side as well. And that people from this lifetime will eventually join me on the other side. So they're not lost for good, but I just can't participate anymore in this reality.
So I have my mom passed, it'll be 5 years in January. Uh-huh. She had Alzheimer's, and she comes to me in dreams once in a while.
Oh,
and kind of, it's almost like she's showing me what she's doing. So the last dream I had was about 6 months ago, and it was one of these lucid, really vivid dreams, right? So I found myself knocking at a door, and she opens the door like she's the hostess, and we hug each other, and she takes me into this dining room. So my mother in her lifetime loved to cook. She was a caterer for many years. She loved to entertain. That was her, she absolutely loved it. So she takes me in this room, and there's this beautiful long table set. And it's, I remember, and I can still picture it. It was all silver, like the silver plates, the silver napkins. There were, there's something called chargers that go under the plates. She created this amazingly beautiful table with decorations. And she was so proud of what she had done.
It's so great that she could share that with you. That's
yes,
so wonderful.
And she wanted to share it with me. And it's like, come on, Annette, I want to show you what I'm working on, kind of
thing. I'm so happy for you. So we should all look forward to having those kinds of opportunities with our loved ones. So we're really at the end of the show, and you're Annette Rugolo. How can people connect with you?
I have a website, AnnetteRugolo.com.
Great. And your book, Soul Whisper, is how I first met you. And I'm so glad that we could connect again on Energy Stew. Thank you so much. It's great talking with you.
Good talking with you, Peter. It's always good.
Thank you.
So happy Thanksgiving.
And you too. And we'll hopefully talk again and help people understand this journey.
Wonderful. Thanks, Peter.
Sure. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heart river.org. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks so much for listening.